come with me if you want to live.
What's up, Road Warriors? Welcome back to another episode of a podcast on Fury Road. We are your hosts, Mark.
And Brooke.
And this week we are coming at you with Brooke's pick of the month. And that is our oldest movie on this podcast, I think.
Probably, yeah.
1964's A Fistful of Dollars.
Yes, sir.
What made you decide to pick this movie?
I don't know. I just wanted to pick a really old movie. So I just looked up 1960s action movies, and a lot of them were James Bond movies.
That's true.
And obviously I saw The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, but I watched that, I think, last year. Mm-hmm. And technically this is a trilogy, but mm-hmm. not really a trilogy. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, weird. It's
not a collection on Letterboxd. Stats,
is it not?
I don't think so.
That's really weird.
Yeah, but it's like The Man with No Name, mm-hmm. even though he has a name.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and in each movie his name is different,
so. Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, I was looking that up, but yeah, this is our first Western movie. It's our, I think it's our oldest movie that we've talked about so far.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Good choice. Good pick.
Thanks, man. Thanks.
Knocks a couple of things off of our to-do list, I guess.
Yeah.
But before we talk about this movie, let's kick off our box office news and booze. What are you drinking tonight?
Still being boring. Just got Michelob Ultra.
Nice. All right. Yes. This movie was actually filmed in Italy and Spain, but yep. It takes place in Mexico.
Okay, I see where we're going here.
So your boy bought a bottle of tequila for tonight. Okay,
I was expecting a Corona, but tequila, yeah. Nice.
I after I bought it, because I stopped on my way home from work tonight, I bought it, and I bought like the 818 tequila, which is Kendall Jenner's brand.
Okay.
And after I already paid for it, I was like, fuck, I should have got Clooney's. I never even thought.
But yeah, the, what's it called? Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called, but I know that they did have it because I saw it there. But I was like, fuck. Yeah. Oh, well. This one's good, though. I like it. I'm just drinking it on the rocks.
Nice.
Yeah. See how I feel tomorrow.
Yeah.
My clothes might fall off during this episode. We'll see.
Oh, shit. Okay.
What have you been watching this week?
Few things. Let's see. A lot of stuff, actually.
I see that. Holy shit.
Well, actually, we didn't talk about movies on the last podcast.
Oh, so, true.
I'll just name a few. Watched the Hatchet series. I mean, I watched the first Hatchet like a lot. Whenever we did that episode, didn't we?
Yes. Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a long time ago.
Yeah. I feel like I watched it last year just for shits. But anyway, I've never seen the whole trilogy or the rest of the movies, mm-hmm. even like the second one. It's a fucking good franchise, man. Like,
it is.
Although Victor Crowley, I wasn't the biggest fan of it. They gave it a 1.5.
Mm-hmm.
But still is some of the wildest fucking kills, and like the special effects are just unreal. Mm-hmm. Watched the Batman Returns, watched Hitman, which came out last year with Glenn Powell.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty good movie. It was all right. And I'm kind of joining you on, well, not joining, you're doing Disney, but I decided to start my Pixar run.
Nice.
And that includes all of the shorts as well.
Okay.
So yeah, The Adventures of Andre and Wally B. It's a minute long. So Lockso Jr., I think, is 2 minutes long.
Jesus Christ.
Red's Dream, and then Tin Toy. If you want to watch something fucking terrifying, watch Tin Toy. That
Oh,
is the
yeah?
most terrifying fucking baby I've ever seen in my life. Holy shit.
Well, you've piqued my interest now.
And it's only like 4 minutes long. It's all on Disney Plus. So yeah.
I did not realize Pixar has been around for this long, because like we got 84,
Yeah.
86, 87, 88.
Yeah. And like all these movies were made, or at least these three were directed by Jim Lasseter, I guess, who did the Toy Story. So
Yeah.
yeah. And then watched Bottle Rocket for the first time. That's Wes Anderson's first movie,
Oh, right, yeah.
because it's leaving Criterion Channel at the end of August, and it's Owen Wilson and Luke Wilson's first movie.
Oh, shit.
I recommend it. It's pretty fun. It's like kind of a heist comedy-ish. Yeah, it's a fun time. And then just
Nice.
watched Logan because haven't logged it on here, so I needed to finish the Wolverine collection. So, yeah.
Nice. I've been thinking about doing an X-Men franchise watch.
Yeah, there's a lot to it.
Yeah, but I don't
Yeah.
know. They're fun movies.
Yeah. What would you?
I have watched a decent amount. Sarah and I went to Toronto last weekend for Blink-182 and Alexis on Fire. So on our way home, we stopped at the theater because we didn't have any kids with us, which is rare. And she wanted to watch It Ends With Us. We were originally going to do a double feature of this and Wolverine and Deadpool, but
Yeah.
we just, or Deadpool and Wolverine, sorry. But we ran out of time and she won the battle. So we watched that.
Yeah. Has she read the book?
Oh, yeah. She was obsessed with the book.
And what did she think?
She said they took a lot out of the book in the movie, and like they changed the story quite a bit, but she really liked the movie. And I like, it's a decent movie.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. There were some things where I was like kind of shaking my head at, but
Yeah,
it wasn't
yeah.
terrible.
Okay.
Brady wanted to watch the Captain Underpants movie, so we watched
Nice.
that. Finally watched Furiosa. I
Nice.
enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I liked it quite a bit more than I was thinking I was going to, given the fact that it got shit on pretty hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't a great follow-up, but it was good. I watched Bambi, continuing on with my Disney watches. And this one that I'm going to talk about now, Milk and Cereal.
That is quite the name. I actually like that a lot.
It makes sense once you watch it.
Okay.
So this is a shorter movie. Like, it's an hour long, so it's
Okay.
considered a full length, but it's a shorter full length. It's on YouTube, and the director has made like a whole bunch of YouTube videos and whatnot. Like, he has a YouTube channel and shit, and he made this full length movie, and it's getting a lot of buzz on like TikTok and Instagram Reels and shit like that. And it is fucking good, man. Like,
Okay.
it's definitely worth the watch. I mean, you can watch
Okay.
for free. It's on YouTube. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's a found footage movie, more like a home video kind of movie. But
Okay.
yeah, the directing, the direction of it and everything like that was really good. It was really well acted, and yeah, definitely highly recommend watching it. And then lastly, we watched the Lego Movie last night,
Nice.
which is so much fun.
It is. It is. Everything is awesome. Did you know that?
I did. You know what's not awesome? This
Hearing
fucking
that
CN
song a
Rails.
million.
Well, that too. I was going more political, but yeah, that too.
Okay. Yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere, to be honest.
Yeah, fucking, oh, worst work week ever.
Oh, it affected you guys?
Oh, fuck yeah, because a lot of our trucks that I ship out, the trailers go on to rail cars afterwards, and they
Oh,
ship out west, so it's just been a fucking nightmare.
fuck.
So yeah, whenever you asked if we could record on Friday, I was very happy. It's just
Okay,
like,
nice.
yeah, very happy. Oh, I'm still sharing my screen.
But that's all right. It's
All
all
right.
right.
Okay, for our box office, a little bit of a weird one. Number five, I guess Coraline got re-released in theaters.
Okay. I saw that
Because.
they're re-releasing Everything Everywhere All at Once on IMAX for one day.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Coraline was re-released in 1,500 theaters and it raked in 9.6 million
That
over the
was
weekend.
Tim Burton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably just gear enough for Beetlejuice.
Oh, yeah, true. Good point. Twisters came in fourth with 10 million. It's making bank, man.
Nice. Still making money.
Oh, yeah. 238 million so far. Domestic. In third, It Ends With Us with 23.8 million. In second, Deadpool and Wolverine with 30 million. And in first place, Alien Romulus with
Nice.
42 million in its opening weekend. Not a bad top five.
Yeah.
Dude, Borderlands. Whew.
Oh man.
Wow. It brought in 2.4 million. It has a total box office gross of 13.6.
What a bomb, man.
Such a bomb.
Jeez. I'm like, I wasn't interested in watching it really, but now I kind of want to watch it even more just to see how truly bad it is.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as they released the cast list, I feel like people were kind of checked out of it.
Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis was cast very poorly.
And now this a fucking movie that was released this weekend, which is not getting the greatest reviews, The
What's that?
Crow.
Oh yeah. I've been seeing some hit or miss. Like some people do enjoy it, but that's another one I feel like people are just kind of going into it and just
Yeah.
being prejudiced against it because of
Fair.
obviously because of the original, but oh well. Yeah, that's all I got for box office. What do we have for 4Ks?
Speaking of Beetlejuice,
Oh, nice.
got Beetlejuice on 4K.
Sick.
It's a movie called Prime Cut. Don't know what that is. Joker on. I feel like that was already on 4K. Maybe this is a steelbook they're
Yeah,
releasing.
that's the steel book, yeah.
So I think Joker 2 comes out this year, doesn't
Yeah. Yeah. I want to say November. Could be wrong, but remember.
Movie that you just watched, Can't Hardly Wait.
Nice.
And actually, I might watch it because it's leaving Criterion Channel in end of August, so I might check it out.
It's fun.
Yeah, it was probably covered. It looks fun. Like it's been a long time since I've seen it. Red Eye,
Nice.
sick movie. Mark's favorite movie, The Last Unicorn.
I feel like I watched that as a kid and it was really good.
Okay, I've never heard of it.
I could be wrong, but yeah.
That's a fucking terrifying cover of The Last Unicorn. Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
The Return of the Living Dead.
Sick cover.
Sick steelbook. Evil Dead 2013.
Nice.
Peril and Distress. And the soon. I don't know. It's too long to say. Yeah, we don't talk about Halo Season 2. Get out of
That's
here.
canceled now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Sure is.
Sweet. Not a bad week for releases.
Yeah, not bad.
That Beetlejuice steel cover was sweet too.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Ready to talk about this movie?
Yes, sir.
All right. Like we said in the intro this week, we are talking about A Fistful of Dollars from 1964. This is part one of sort of a trilogy. Starting off with the synopsis. A wandering gunfighter plays two rival families against each other in a town torn apart by greed, pride, and revenge. This has got to be the smallest town to have two dueling families.
I was thinking that the whole movie, like, you can literally throw a rock to the other person's house. It's
Yeah.
like, Something instead of like a Family Guy episode or something stupid like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this town is the size of a Walmart parking lot.
Yeah, seriously. Like, there's like, you see like two other people in the whole town that are kind of just,
Bystanders. This was directed by Sergio Leone. He also did For a Few Dollars More and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Then he did Once Upon a Time in America and Once Upon a Time in the West. The cast list starts with Clint Eastwood, obviously playing the man with no name, or Joe. Marianne Cock played Marisol. Jean Marie Maria Volante played Ramon, and Wolfgang Lucchi played John Baxter. I didn't recognize anyone in this movie besides Clint Eastwood, so I don't
Yeah,
know if you
me too.
have. Okay.
No.
I assumed as much,
And
but.
it's crazy that Eastwood is like fucking 94 years old.
That how old he is now?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he was born in 1930.
1930.
I did the math already. Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. He's
Yeah.
94?
Yeah.
Wow, I thought he was still in like his 80s.
He's seen everything.
Yeah, pretty much. Jesus Christ. That's
Yeah.
crazy. Wow. Yeah, he was very young in this movie because
Very young.
I
Yeah.
mean, he was 34, but considering what we're used to seeing him in now, he was
Yeah.
very young.
What do you think of his directing career?
What's he have?
He has a lot of fucking movies.
He's directed a lot.
Yeah, and a lot of like good movies.
Let me see. Oh shit, he's directed 46 movies. Let's see. I haven't watched The Mule.
Me either.
Sully was good. American Sniper was good. J. Edgar was good. And wow, he does have a lot of good movies. Holy shit. Invictus, Gran Torino, I knew that. Letters from Iwo Jima, Flags of Our Fathers, Million Dollar Baby. Wow. Yeah. Fuck, man. His directing credits might be better than his acting credits.
Yeah.
He did Sudden Impact too. Wow. Huh. Shit. Yeah, that's quite the directing career. What's he got
Yeah.
coming up? Juror number two, director. He's still acting though, isn't he? Because didn't he say he was? Oh, he
Yeah.
played Cry Macho. Because after, what was it after? Yeah, after The Mule, I think. Okay? He said he was gonna stop acting.
Maybe.
Was it after Americans Trouble with the Curve? I don't know.
Well, he was in Cry Macho.
Yeah, that came out in 2021, but that's what I mean. Like, it's like he
Yeah.
came out of retirement.
Oh, yeah.
Can't remember which movie he finished and said he was done acting with. But yeah, he's a legend, man. Like, I don't
Yeah.
know. I'm not f super familiar with his older movies, but
Yeah, pretty much same. There was one what I used to watch. I had it on VHS. It's the one where he had the monkey friend. Remember that one?
sounds familiar, yeah.
What was that called? I'm thinking of some other fucking. Oh, Escape from Alcatraz. That's good.
Yeah, you just watched that not too long ago.
Yeah.
Dirty Harry was good.
Oh, it's called Every Which Way But Loose.
Oh, okay. I never watched that. Oh, yeah, it does have a monkey. The cover art looks like it should be like a Sylvester Stallone movie.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, like I grew up like Unforgiven. I used to watch that all the time. It's a fucking great movie.
That's a movie that's on my watch list for a while.
Yeah, it's so good. What else is really good? Like Million Dollar Baby, Gran Torino. Those movies are amazing. Absolute Power was really good. The Rookie I liked. Doesn't have great reviews, but yeah, I don't know. He's really good. He's got that like iconic look all the time.
Yeah, especially in this movie too.
Yeah. Gran Torino is probably my favorite movie of his, so it's
Yeah, that's good.
so
I just watched that again earlier this year, I think.
fucking politically incorrect, but it's
Yeah.
great. But yeah, anyways,
Yeah.
I think we can kick off this movie discussion.
Yes, sir. So I forgot that kind of these movies, these early Sergio Leone movies, are dubbed. And at first it kind of bothered me, but I kind of got used to it pretty quickly. Not for you.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
I hate fucking soundstage movies, like where they
Yeah.
recorded it afterwards.
Like, I don't understand how does it work? Okay, so this movie, it's filmed silently, right? So like, are the actors, obviously their mouth is moving, so are they just saying the lines in their own language, and then obviously they dub over the language, the English, right?
It was filmed silently. So
Yeah, but you see their mouth moving, so they're just
I
saying
think
whatever.
that they just mouth the words and they don't actually say anything.
That'd be so hard and weird to do.
Yeah. Or like maybe they're actually saying the words, but the cameras don't have like a sound recording on it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they do.
Yeah.
Like the camera, well, yeah, obviously cameras, maybe not. Maybe cameras back then didn't have microphones. No, they would have had to have fucking microphones.
No, because they have boom mics, is
Yeah.
how they get the sound, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, it said on IMDb that it was filmed silently, so.
Yeah. So at first it bothered me a bit, but then I just kind of got used to it, like didn't really. I don't know. I hate watching like anime dubbed. I can't stand it. But so it bothered you a
Oh,
bit.
yeah.
Like, did it like affect your kind of rating of the movie? Or did you try it not? Oh, it did. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because it takes away the overall enjoyment for me. And it like it's not even the fact that it's dubbed.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know. Oh, I guess it is the fact that it's dubbed, but like the spoken words didn't match up with their mouth movements, which is so frustrating for me.
Well, because the Mexicans, like they don't speak English, right? So they're doing the lip movement in their own language, right? Because they don't speak English.
Fair.
And I'm pretty sure wasn't there some Italians too or something like that that was in this or something?
Yeah, but I don't know, like you can tell that the vocals are recorded in like a booth and that it drives me crazy. Like when you're outside in like an old Western town and I can hear like sound reverberations off walls and shit like that, it just it takes me out of it. I mean, I don't know. If it didn't take away my overall enjoyment, then I wouldn't have included it in my rating, but it did, so.
But yeah, anyway, I love the opening to this, the credits, classic credits at the beginning, and you just get that classic Sergio Leone music. Who's the composer of these movies? Because
I feel like every Western movie had the same composer.
like
Because.
listening to this music, like I wouldn't like, it's not my music of a genre, but like I don't know, it just brings something to me. Like it kind of makes me happy and like fucking this is I could bop to this,
Drive to work listening to it.
Yeah. So the composer was, I'm probably gonna butcher this because it's Italian, obviously. Ennio Morricone. Yeah, he's done 536
Shit.
credits.
Damn.
Yeah, he's done like the Hateful Eight. What other ones? He's done a lot. There's way too many. But yeah. I love the music to this, especially The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, like one of the best soundtracks ever made. Just I love this style. Like, I don't know, I feel like I kind of want to watch more Westerns and visit like the John, like I've never seen any John Wayne movie.
John Wayne fucking slaps, man. I love his
Yeah.
movies.
Okay.
Sarah's dad's a huge John Wayne guy, and
Yeah.
so like every so often we'll go over to their place and he's got a movie on, and it's fun. They're fun movies.
Yeah, I need to dive into that. So we first see Joe, who is our main character. He has his mule and his fucking what do you call it, poncho, I guess. And he has his hat, just goes up to these like random houses that are in the middle of nowhere, basically, and just starts drinking their water. And we see this little boy come out of the one house and like sneak over to the other house and like go inside the house. And then some guy comes out, and I think it was Chico is his name, just comes out and takes the boy over and starts fucking shooting at the boy's fucking feet. And it's like, what the fuck is going on? But I didn't fully really get what was going on in this movie, to be honest.
This
So
move this yeah it I lost interest a lot of the time in this movie.
yeah.
I think because of the fact that like I didn't really understand what was going on. Like I know that
Yeah.
there's two families that are conflicting in this very, very small town.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, like it felt like two crime families.
Yeah.
Like think if you had like the Corleones and like whoever their main rival family is, I can't remember, within like 100-yard radius of each other. It's
Yeah.
just like, I don't know.
Yeah. So yeah, there's the Rojos and the Baxters. And so the Rojos are the more powerful gang, and seems like the Baxters are not really intimidating at all. Like the Rojos are the fucking ones who are killing the military and doing all this stuff, because I think that they control the gold in this. No, they control. So the guns and one controls. Oh, the liquor, I think the Rojos control. And then the Baxters control the guns. But the Rojos kind of seem to be like running the whole town, because the one brother is a sheriff of this very small town. And it's like, okay, the sheriff is one of the Rojo brothers. Like, why doesn't he just fucking lock up the Baxters if they fucking hate them that much? Like,
I thought the sheriff was John Baxter. Is he not?
no, because the sheriff is, well, at least he hangs out with the, I thought so. Oh, you're right. No, John Baxter is the sheriff. I thought like one of the, because one of the, like the older brother, Rojos, I thought he was a deputy or something, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, because there's three of them. Don Miguel, Esteban, and then Ramon. And Ramon is like
He's
psychotic.
a top dog. And Esteban, because in the one scene where we see who was it, Don Miguel? He's the one that hires Joe, but it seemed like he was kind of running stuff, and Esteban was like trying to use his name to show up everyone in the town or something like that. But I didn't really understand the relationships of what was happening, because like whenever the boy runs away, we see this girl in this house, and she like kind of gives a weird look to Joe, and the son says like, oh, I just want to see her, and like starts crying. And then like later in the movie, like I feel like we're gonna jump all around in this movie, but that's fine. Marisol is the girl's name, and she is the mother of this little boy, and the dad lives in the house with the son, but Marisol lives in the house like 10 feet away and is almost being held hostage, but is also like dating or married to Ramon. So it's like, I didn't understand that whole part of the story.
Yeah, I'm with you. I
Okay,
don't quite get it either.
yeah.
But like, part of the difficulty with this movie too is I couldn't remember who each person was. And I'm not like they all looked very similar, and there was just like so many different characters that you're introduced to in such a short amount of time. It's hard to remember who they all are.
So yeah, Joe makes it to the town. We meet, I don't know what the guy's name, but he's the bell guy. So I think his job is like whenever someone dies, he rings the bell. We meet John, who I like John a lot. Him and was named Piri Piri Pero, I think is his name. Looks like Floyd, you know.
He does. Prescott represent.
So John runs the bar in town, which I don't know how busy he would be to be making money. And Piri Pero, his job is, well, he builds the coffins, but who in this town is going to pay him to build a coffin? And like, I didn't understand that at all.
Everybody dies. Like he's got like a stack of coffins out back behind the bar.
And then like, we'll get to it later. So the town's San Miguel, and people come to this town from Texas to stock up on guns and liquor. There's the Rojos, who are the three brothers. They sell the liquor. They're the strongest of the gang. Baxters, they sell the guns. Joe was kind of asking John, you know, who's the strongest, and John keeps saying, like, you need to get the fuck out of here. And Joe immediately is just like, has this plan. Oh, I'm gonna fucking pit these two gangs against each other. And it's like, like, what is the point? Like, all he's trying to do is, I don't know, make some money so we can continue on the road, right?
Yeah. Got to make a fistful of dollars, man.
It's true. It's true. So Don Miguel, one of the brothers, is hires Joe to, I guess, take out the Baxters or infiltrate the Baxters or something like that. He tells Piri Piro to get three coffins ready, and he goes up to the Baxters. And I love this scene, but like, I wish we got more, because I don't think you see him kill them at all, right?
No, I don't think so.
No, but because when he comes into town, they immediately start shooting at his mule. And I love this scene, because he goes up to them like outside the house, and you know, acting all tough and stuff. And Joe just got his fucking little cigar in his mouth the whole time, and has the hat, and he just goes up to him, and you know, you better be nice if you apologize to my mule there. And they start like laughing, and then like, I love this shot so much. His like head is like kind of facing down, and his hat's covering his eyes, like fucking Undertaker, right? And he just like lifts up his eyes and has that classic Clint Eastwood look, and I fucking loved it.
Yeah, it's good.
And then apparently he kills the three of them, but you don't see him do it.
Think he kills. Yeah,
Or I don't know how many is there,
I
but
think
he kills.
there's four. Yeah, and Don Miguel pays him $100 later on because he killed the four of them. Because they're part of the Baxter family.
So yeah, John Baxter is the sheriff. Someone mentions that there's a cavalry that's going to be passing through in a few days, so it's like kind of like the Mexican military, I guess. They're passing through. We see Chico from the beginning. He's a part of this the Rojos, Marisol and Esteban. Esteban is just like the little bro who just wants to be like his cool brothers. I love this scene too. Whenever the cavalry comes up and they have the big like stagecoach, and John is there, and Joe's like, I wonder what's in the stagecoach. And then John's like, oh, probably something pretty cool or something like that. And he's like, why don't you go find out? And Joe's like, you know, that's a good idea. And just like walks up casually, and we see like a guard by the stagecoach, and Joe goes up to the horse, like looks at its eye and nose, and is like inspecting it, and then walks away. And then like the soldier is like, Something with my horse, it just goes up to it.
There's some scenes, I guess it does have a spaghetti western tag on IMDb, but like there's some comedic parts in this which I wasn't really expecting.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like that
For sure.
scene, for
Yeah.
example.
Cause he like looks into like the stagecoach, there's something like a gun comes popping out and guys like, you better get the fuck out of here. Yeah, initially Joe gets hired by Don Miguel and they give him like a room. And then like 5 minutes later, he's just like, ah, fuck this, I'm leaving. And Chico's like, where are you going? And he's like, I don't want to be here anymore. And Chico's like, well, all of our hired men stay in this house. And Joe's just like casually like, I'm leaving.
Yeah, offers to give him the money back because he doesn't accept money for things that he doesn't feel like he deserves and shit like
Yeah.
that.
So him and John are going to see what the cavalry is doing, and we see them come up to this kind of like water lake kind of river thing. And we see a bunch of who you think is like military or government people in like these blue outfits come from the other side of the river, and they're exchanging gold for guns. And I laugh so fucking hard at this part. Now keep in mind this was 1964, so you know, but we see Ramon just pull back with the one stagecoach, and he's dressed in one of the blue guys, has this fucking turret gun, and like just starts blasting off, and like all of the men are on their horses, and not one single horse gets shot.
That's a good point, 'cause like there's a lot of gunfights with horses involved in this movie,
Yeah,
and not
yeah.
one horse goes down.
No. Especially this fucking giant machine gun. He's just like
Yeah.
ripping guys.
This guy's aim is impeccable.
Yeah. And like the guys that get hit, like you don't see anything like happen to their bodies because there's nothing actually hitting them. It's just, you know, the noises and kind of like some smoke coming out of the gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, thought it was funny. Yeah, so later on, that night, Ramon invites the Baxters over for dinner, I think. So like we mentioned before, like they just walk across the street to go to the Baxters, and like the Baxters are like, I don't really know what's going on here. Like they're like, okay, we'll just, you know, keep your eyes open and don't drink or eat anything, I think the wife says.
Yeah.
So they go over there and I don't think anything really happens, right?
No. Ramon gets introduced to Joe at some point too. I can't remember if that was before or after the dinner.
Yeah.
But Ramon doesn't like him right away. He mentions like that he's a highly intelligent person and like we shouldn't
Yeah.
trust him and stuff like
Yeah.
that.
So we see Joe, he's leaving again, but he's taking his old pal, John. With him. But I love every like interaction with like Joe and John. Like they'll be at like John's bar, and at one point Joe leaves and John's like, where are you going? And Joe's like, oh, I'm going to do this. And I was like, oh, I'm coming with you, and just like chases after him to
I'll close
the
down the
door.
bar.
Yeah. Because there's nothing else going on in this town, you know. So Joe gets a wagon with two coffins, and meanwhile the Baxters are going to the Rojos, so everyone's kind of in one place so they can kind of sneak off with the two coffins and go do their thing. So basically Joe is just trying to get a shit ton of money together to continue on his venture, but obviously he likes Marisol, fell in love with her that first look he saw, you know, just that 2 seconds he's like, oh, girl for me. So he takes the two coffins with John, and they go to where all the bodies were shot, and he grabs two of the cavalry's and puts them in the coffins and takes them to the graveyard and kind of like sets them up on a gravestone, like makes them look like they're hurt but still alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, so John's like, "What the fuck? What are you doing here?" And he's like, "Well, bet to make some money." So, Joe ends up going to the Baxter's house and talks to the woman there. He's telling her why the Rojos invited them over, but he's kind of like playing both sides, like he's making up stories and stuff to like get them like against each other.
Yeah.
And what is he? Because he asked for $500 from the Baxters.
Both of them, the Rose and the Baxters.
Yeah. What's it? Well, because the did the Baxters pay him because he told them that there's two
Because,
soldiers that are still alive?
yeah, and they're to testify against the
Right.
Rojos.
Yeah. And then he ends up going to the Rojos and tells them, "Hey, for $500, I got some info that might help you. There's two soldiers still alive, and the Baxters know, and they're going to get these guys to bring them to whatever the government or whatever to testify against you guys." So the Rojos go there, and the Baxters go there. And I thought this would have been more of a, I don't know, a better scene.
Yeah.
Like I feel it was more like comedic than like actual shooting because it's like it's also dark, so it's like kind of hard to see. But like would have been funny because like Ramon just says like he's like fuck this, like runs down the hill, and people are shooting at him. Like imagine he died and it was just all like it wasn't even really just doing this for nothing. But I love his
This
like reaction. He like goes down and like fucking jumps, dives down and shoots one of the cavalry. And he's like, ha ha, and then like rolls over, shoots the other one, and he just starts like laughing. He's like, ha, try and get them to talk now. And it's like they were dead the
They're
whole
already
time.
dead, yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah, this is quite the shootout that happens here.
Yeah.
It feels like they're like 5 feet away from each other, both
Yeah.
sides, and they have the aim of fucking stormtroopers.
So meanwhile, while all this is happening, Joe ends up going to the Rojos because he wants to investigate some stuff. Because I think he knows that there's gold that they stole from the exchange, obviously, hidden somewhere here. And I loved whenever he was fucking with Chico, who is like standing guard at the place. I mean, the stuff that happens in this movie, like, that's fucking impossible. Like, maybe not. I don't know. But Chico is like standing in front of this window that has like is held up by ropes, and he's standing like under it, and John starts like shooting bullets like randomly. So Chico is like gets in position, and then Joe shoots one of the ropes holding like the window and just fucking slams down and knocks Chico out. Was good. So yeah, Joe is searching around this room full of barrels. He does end up finding the bags of gold in one of the barrels. I love whatever. He leaves the compound and he sees, or no, he's going around a corner. No, sorry. He's still in the room and he's like hiding behind a wall. And then someone's like coming out with like the lantern. And he just fucking turns around and punches someone. And his fucking Mary Saul just clocks her in the face and
Knocks
knocks
her
her
right in.
out. Thought was funny. Yeah, so that happens. The Rojos, they think that the Baxters were the ones that came to their compound to search it and knock Chico out. So the Rojos, they end up capturing Antonio, who is like, I guess, I think the young, either the son, I think, of Sheriff Baxter, maybe.
He's the little boy.
No, not the little boy,
Oh,
the guy with like kind of like the yeah, the brown hair, the younger, yeah, younger guy there. And so meanwhile, Joe brings Mary Saul to the Baxters, and then there's going to be an exchange in the morning for these two. So yeah, the next morning, kind of a very uneventful exchange, to be honest.
Yeah.
I love that Joe's just like sitting in a chair just watching the whole thing. He's like, I got my fucking money, I'm
Yeah,
good.
I don't care what happens now.
But then we see the little boy come out and he's saying, I want to see her, I want to see her. And then if you find out that it's his mom, and we already talked about it, like I didn't really understand. So was Ramon keeping her hostage, I guess?
We have.
Because we see later on, obviously, Joe goes to that house and kills everyone there and saves Mary's soul and sends him
So,
away. So, like,
yeah, Joe learns that Ramon accused Julio of cheating during a card game and he took Marisol as collateral.
oh, okay. See, I totally missed that. Yeah.
I'm just seeing it in the notes.
Oh,
I
okay.
missed that
Okay. Nice. So they do the exchange and yeah, nothing really happens. They just go back to their house and I love the scene whenever Joe's hanging out with the Ramones later that night and you think that he's getting like super drunk and Chico ends up like bringing Joe up to his room and like passes out, but then Joe's like, well, he's kind of hammered a bit because he has a splash of water on his face, but
Yeah.
they think he's like passed right out.
He's coherent enough to get up and do what he's about to do.
Yeah, because he goes to Mary Soul's house, and like I love this scene. He just fucking walks in. There's like eight guys there, and just like immediately just fucking shoots them all.
Oh, such a gunslinger moment. It's so
Yeah.
sick.
He ends up saving Marisol, and then I love also the one guy that comes out at the last minute, just like picks up the machete and fucking hawks it at the guy.
Yeah.
That was sick. And he gives the money that he's got. I don't know if it's all of it, but he gives his money to Marisol and the family and tells them to leave, so they run out.
Yeah, and like she asks why. And I like the line that he gives her because he says, "Why? Because I knew someone like you once. There was no one there to help. Now get moving."
Yeah, there was a
So
few good lines in this movie.
It would be nice to get a little bit of a backstory on him. Like, this is the shortest movie out of the three of them. It's only an hour and a half long, but I don't know. I guess it adds to the mystery of him because he is supposed to be like the man with no name and like a stranger to these people. So I guess it adds to the mystery that we don't really have a backstory, but I don't know. Where'd you come from, Joe?
So Ramon is in Joe's bed, and then he's saying, I think Joe says that the Baxters attacked the house. Oh yeah, because they capture Joe, and this is where he's in the fucking room, and they're just beating the fuck out of him. And like, I was hoping that Joe was gonna grab Esteban's gun and just fucking blast everyone.
Yeah.
But then we couldn't get the greatest scene in this movie, which I laughed so fucking hard. I did not
Fire?
ex no. So the next morning, because they leave Joe in there and Chico and someone, they're like gonna go in there and they're like, oh, he's probably sleeping. They walk in, close the door, and there's like this giant ramp, like going into the door, and all you see is this giant fucking barrel. Like, this thing must be like 6 feet wide and like 4 feet tall. Just come barely down, smoke the fuck out of them. Like, not like obviously no CGI or anything, and just explodes.
Yeah.
Oh man, I love that so much. I was laughing so hard. I did not expect that at all. Like, that was hilarious.
It's good.
Just fucking kills Chico and the other guy. Yeah, he ends up setting the room on fire and he's crawling away because he's pretty fucked up right now. Ramon and them, they end up capturing John because they think that he knows what happened, stuff like this, but he really doesn't know much. Been friends with Joe, and even Ramon says, like, that's what you get for fucking being his friend. So Finally, the Ramones just say, fuck it, we're gonna, or the Rojos say, fuck it, we're gonna go to the Baxters, just kill them. Which they plant and set off the slowest fucking bomb ever. They like lit the fucking wick and they just like the slowest, it's like out of a Wile E. Coyote or some shit, you know? Just blows up like nothing really, honestly. And then they throw some barrels in there that are full of gas and they shoot them and throw Molotovs in there and just burn the place up. And honestly, kind of, I wish there was more shootouts in this. Like, I feel like, I don't know.
I feel like we get more of them in the other movies. Like, I haven't watched For a Few Dollars More,
Yeah,
but
me either.
I've watched The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, and I feel like there's more in that one.
Yeah, because this scene, all it is for 5 minutes is the Baxters running out of the burning house and the Rojos are shooting them. So all these people are coming out, and then all of a sudden, there's like a few of them are like, oh, we surrender, we surrender. And Ramon, the other guys, the Rojos, are like, okay, we'll let them, you know, they're surrendering, we gotta let them live. But then Ramon just says, fuck it, blast them all. And we see the wife come out and the sheriff. And the sheriff's like pleading with them, like, stop, like, we surrender, you can have whatever, all the guns or whatever it is, or we'll leave town, I think he says, or something. And Ramon is like, really? Like, you promised? And he's like, yeah, and then just fucking shoots him anyway. And then we see Joe Tony Stark in the cave there building his Iron Man suit. That's all I could think of when I saw this. And he's like fucking chipping away at the armor, trying to test it out. I was like, this is exactly like Iron Man. Like, John gets captured again and is being, he's not hanged, but he's like hanging up and tied up. I love this ending scene. I thought it was fucking awesome. Whenever Joe shows up and he's got his parka on, is all this smoke that's happening, and the four or five Rojos are there, and they shoot him. Or no, none of the guys are shooting him. It's just Ramon has like his rifle and just shooting Joe. Like shoots him once, hits him, gets knocked down, gets back up.
What's he say to him? He's like, "You gotta aim for the heart, or you gotta hit the heart," or something like that.
Yeah, because he
He's just
says,
taunting him the
Ramon,
whole time.
yeah, Ramon, you've always said aim for the heart or something like that. And so he keeps getting up and getting like closer and closer to them. And then he just like fucking takes off his parka, takes off the metal plate, has like the six bullet holes like in his heart. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
And then just immediately just fucking gunslinger shoots everyone except for Ramon. And Ramon like can't fucking believe it. And there's like one line here that like I love, just give me chills. So Joe says, when a man with the 45 meets a man with a rifle, he said, the man with the pestle is a dead man. Let's see if that's true. Go ahead, load up and shoot. It's fucking
That's
sick.
so
And
good, yeah.
then he just, well, they're having like a kind of duel, and just fucking Joe's too quick and just shoots him.
Yeah, because it was they both needed to reload, right? So it was like, who could reload their gun faster?
Oh, then Esteban's in like the top, one of the top windows up there, and Joe ends up shooting him too. And then we hear all the bells ringing, and then Piri Piro, he's like, fuck yeah, I'm making the money, I guess, but even though the whole town is dead, like what, you know? And then Joe ends up shooting the rope down that's holding John, and that's pretty much the end of the movie.
Yeah, he just rides off.
That's the way the bullets fly.
Yes. All right. Did you know that this movie was a remake of Kurosawa's Yojimbo?
On what movie?
Yojimbo?
Yojimbo? Oh, dude,
Yojimbo?
that's one of my watch lists. I've been seeing that pop up a lot lately.
Yeah, this is a remake of that.
Fuck, I would have watched Yojimbo even more.
It was a big controversial thing. Like the producing team of Yojimbo like wanted to sue Leone and shit.
Wow, Yojimbo only came out 3 years earlier.
But like the story is pretty much the exact same. It's just instead of a samurai, it's a gunslinger.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was a big thing apparently. But yeah, I think Yojimbo's on my watch list too, because it's on the IMDb top 250, I think. Yeah. Anyways, how did you rate this movie?
I believe I gave this 3.5 on Letterboxd, I think, if I
Okay.
remember. Oh yeah, I did. Yeah, 3.5. I don't know, I kind of struggled with it. Like, I wanted to give it a 4, but then I was like, I don't know if 4 is too high. I think 3 is too low, so with 3.5. A few things I liked, like Clint Eastwood is fucking awesome in this movie. He's great. I love the way it was shot. The action scenes were filmed awesome. I liked the characters a lot. I thought John was awesome. Piri Piro was hilarious. But just like the pacing was not that great. This movie felt like it was as long as The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, but it's only like 1.5 hour, 40 minutes, but it felt longer. The story was very confusing, even though there's not much of a story, which kind of goes to show, like, I don't know, just confusing. The score obviously is great. I definitely watch this movie again. So, yeah. How about you?
All right. I gave it a 3 out of 5.
Okay, that's fair.
I respect the movie for what it did for the genre, and like Eastwood really made a name for himself after these three movies. But like, yeah, like you said, the story is just so kind of like jumbled, I guess. I feel like the writing was kind of poor. They didn't really know where they were going with this story, or like what this story, like how they wanted it to be, I guess. But I mean, there was some iconic scenes and like the iconic look of Clint Eastwood, and yeah, the music, how you mentioned too, is great. But just, I don't know, overall, and I don't really like, I've already talked about it, but like the movies that are filmed silent and then they do the audio afterwards. It really took away from the movie for me. But I do want to watch it again because I might have just not been in the right headspace for this one.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like I just found myself getting super distracted, and yeah, you mentioned like it's only 1.5 hours, but it felt like fucking a solid 2 hours and 15 minutes. I just, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, 3 out of 5 for me.
Nice.
All right, you guys know our scores. We'll head on over to Rotten Tomatoes and see what they scored it. The critics' consensus, with Akira Kurosawa's Yojimbo as his template, Sergio Leone's A Fistful of Dollars helped define a new era for the Western and usher in its most iconic star, Clint Eastwood.
Interesting. That's funny that you just mean.
Well, that's like after I read that while I was doing my notes, I looked into it. So based on that, what do you think the critics scored it?
I'll say like 76.
You ready for this?
Sure.
98%.
Okay, on how many reviews?
55.
Oh, wow. 98%? Is that what's The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on Rotten Tomatoes? Because
I'd
if this
be
is a 98, I feel like The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is like known to be way better than this movie.
97 on 77 reviews. So,
Interesting.
But yeah, very high, higher than I expected. But I don't know. I feel like this is definitely a critic's movie just because of like the iconicness of it. But yeah, 98%, 55 reviews, and an average score of 8.3 to 10. The audience score is a 91% on 50,000 ratings, and an average score of 4.2 out of 5, or an 8.4 out of 10.
Damn, people
Yeah.
really like this movie, eh?
Fuck yeah. It's a classic. You can't deny it of that.
Sidebar. I was today years old when I found out that this is how you spell fistful.
That's fair enough.
Always thought it was two L's. Letterboxd has a 3.9 out of 5. We already mentioned our ratings. I don't know if any of our friends are going to rate this, except for obviously Anthony. Gave it a 4 out of 5. Screaming Cinema, 4.5. That's it.
Okay. Not many.
Nope.
All right. Well, that means it's time for our
cunning stunts.
How did you rate the stunts in this movie?
I don't know. It's kind of tough. I'll go like a 3 out of 10. Because, like, people do kind of. It's not much, like, really hardcore stunts. Like, the barrel looked fucking rough. But, like, usually, like, Westerns, like, you'll see, like, guys up on a rooftop get shot off and they fucking fly off. But, like, there's not much of that in this movie. I don't know, maybe 3 is too high. I'll go 2 out of 10. Favorite stunt? I guess I'll say whenever the Baxters run into the flaming house. Like, I'm sure that was a real ass fucking house on fire and people just
Yeah,
running out of it, right?
that's a fair point. It's probably true.
And stunt I would most like to try. I would like to see how quick my draw is. Not much a stunt, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, let's go with that.
That's fair.
A duel with Clint Eastwood.
Ooh, I think you'd lose.
Probably.
My stunt rating, I also gave it a 2 out of 10. It's not really a stunt-oriented film. I said like there's the horseback riding. Clint Eastwood hangs from a sign rail at one point.
Oh,
And
yeah.
then like the gunfights, which are whatever. They fall backwards, I guess. They could get hurt doing that.
People fall off horses, they could get trampled.
That's true. It's true. My favorite stunt, I said when Joe kills five guys in like 3 seconds. Like whenever he goes into that room and he's just like bah, 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 bah. It's like so sick. Stunt I would want to try. I said I wish I could be a badass gunslinger, but I think that translates to what you said, like just to see like what my draw would be like. And like not only draw, but like your draw and aim. Because if you're in a duel, you gotta aim too. So, I mean, overall, not the greatest movie, but I mean, definitely, or in our eyes, anyways, but definitely an iconic movie and one that deserves to be talked about just for the groundbreaking cinema that it is. So it's time for my pick for our next episode. There's nothing groundbreaking about this movie. We're going in the opposite direction. Well, it's semi-iconic, but for different reasons. We're going to be talking about Triple X.
Was that because of our was that Dennis that watched it the
Yeah.
other day?
Yeah. He watched it the other day and he told us about it. And I was just like, fuck, I haven't watched that movie in a while.
It's been a long time since I've seen that.
And I feel like it's just a movie that's going to be a really fun discussion.
Yeah, because I literally remember nothing from that movie.
There's a few scenes that I remember, and
Yeah, I
yeah.
mean, I'm sure it'll come to me whenever I'm watching it, but yeah, I just remember the amazing sequel with Exhibit.
It's one of those movies that's just cheesy action that we loved growing up, but I'd be interested to see what we think about it now.
Nice. All right. Cool.
Yeah, that'll be our next one in a couple weeks. In the meantime, check out our other episodes. If you want to catch us on social media, you can find us at a podcast on Fury Road on Instagram. Check out our past episodes and give our horror podcast a listen.
Yes.
Until next time.
Cool. All right, guys. Talk to you in a couple weeks.
See you later.